It's so exciting to talk through the book of Acts, you know, and it's the Acts of the Apostle, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's God really like launching the church, you know, and we see the church spreading all across the world. Isn't it a beautiful picture? All of us as Christians, we are supposed to trust the Lord to make disciples, and not just disciples, but disciple makers. And we see that in this amazing process of multiplication, that there was, you know, Paul's beautiful prayers in some of the letters that he wrote. He says, I wish to come and impart something to you. I wish to come and not just give you stuff, but to impart myself to you. The message, we become the message. The word in us becomes the message. And that's so beautiful about Paul on these journeys and how we read, you know, how they affected certain cities. And so here in Acts chapter 17, we see this beautiful city, Thessalonica, and it was sort of on a great Roman road that divided the east and the west. And so there was the Adriatic Sea on the one side, and there was the Middle East on the other side. And Paul knew that if he could affect this city and get into these areas, then the gospel would go worldwide. Isn't it amazing that within 2 years, the gospel spread even in the whole of Asia Minor? But there was specific structure. And it's so beautiful how the church in Antioch commissioned Paul, how the groups went out and they established people in different places. So there was this amazing spreading of the gospel. Now in verse 1 to 9, we see how the Jews again came, because there were some people following Paul and these guys, and just said like, look here, we're going to stir up the crowds. We're gonna make sure that this message doesn't go forth. There were people that oppose the gospel in your life. There were people that will oppose Jesus in your life. And so we boldly need to step out as the church. And as Paul went to the temple, there were many Gentiles that were converted. And so there was almost like a revolution, first in the individual, but then also in society. You know, what we've sometimes done is we've put the church sort of on the side, you know. It's just like, oh, it's a personal issue. No, no. If the real gospel is preached, the whole community will be affected. And some will love us and some will hate us. And so in verse 10 to 15, Paul moves on to Berea. There, again, challenging times, you know. But I love what David Livingstone said. David Livingstone said the following. He said, I'm prepared to go anywhere as long as it is forward. Yeah. Well, Angus Buchan sometimes says, he says the best way of defense is attack, you know. And we see this vigilance, we see this persistence, the endurance of Paul as he would travel from one area to another. And again, as he moved out of the areas into the more rural areas where there wasn't really Roman justice, that's where the Jews could easily psych up the mobs and the crowds, because they were quite afraid of Roman rule, but because Paul could also appeal to some of those things. And so they just said like, hey, we're going to take Paul out. But here in Berea, or Berua, as some people say, these people are really eager to hear. They've never heard the gospel. And it's amazing when you and I listen to the Holy Spirit, you know, because you can also study through the book of Acts the different angles that Paul takes on the different worldviews that certain people have. It's, you know, we can't just preach the gospel these days to people that don't have a Judeo-Christian type of worldview or a background of Christianity. There are lots of people, even in Europe today, that do not know the gospel. They've never heard the gospel. So you need to take another angle. And so in verse 16 to 21, it's a beautiful part that we can study about Paul approaching this big city called Athens. Now in Athens, there were two groups. Now I'm going to try and pronounce it correctly, but they were the Epicureans. Now they believed everything happened by chance. They believed death is the end of life, that the gods didn't really care. They were just out there, and that pleasure was the chief purpose of life. Sounds a bit like some of the Western areas that we live in, you know, that just everything happens by chance, just like, hey, just going to come by, but you know, just pleasure, just live for today. Don't worry about eternity. When you die, nothing else is going to happen. And so then there were also the Stoics. The Stoics, they were the very spiritual people, very big philosophers. They said everything was God. So natural, spiritual, everything was mixed. Everything happened because of the will of God, and you can't really do anything about that. And so this is the city that Paul then confronts, and he starts to preach there. He says, hey, this he sees this thing, and it says to the unknown gods, and he goes there and he starts to preach. And it's amazing if you go and make a study. We don't have enough time today to make a study on his approach, but he starts with creation. You know, he starts with establishing a type of a worldview, because these guys were not familiar to Christianity or even God creating the earth as the creator. And so go and study that. It's beautiful. The place where they take him eventually is really at the center, because these guys were, they loved philosophy, they loved arguing, they loved talking a lot, and he sort of then preaches to them. It goes straight into the heart. But a lot of them were challenged, and some didn't respond. You know, there's a big name for that place where they took him. It's almost like Mars Hill. You know, same type of word in English is a place of judgment, a place where the attorneys can gather. So we see this beautiful picture of Paul going into the heart of the city. And then we see the defense, verses 21 to 31 of Paul's sermon. And then verse 32 to 34. Where we can clearly see the response. And it's so important that we realize that sometimes we're going to plant seed into people's lives. Sometimes people are going to respond because, hey, we've just came to harvest, and others have watered, others have planted. But it's beautiful when we are laborers in the kingdom of God. The one isn't better than the other. But there were four responses that we can read at the end of the story to Paul's sermon and Paul approaching Athens and challenging them with the gospel. The first one is some just mocked him. Some just said, ugh, you're ridiculous. Some people delayed their response. They just put off their decision. Some people just don't want to make a decision. They don't want to take responsibility for their lives. And then some truly believed and some persecuted. So there's going to be different responses to when we approach, especially in a hostile environment. But Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. He just went for it. He preached it. And go and make it a study on these verses of how he actually started right from the beginning. Because with some people, hey, they don't believe in creation. They don't believe that there's a place where sin entered in, and that's where he started. With a Christian worldview or a Judeo-Christian worldview, we will have another approach. And so it's so important that we also ask questions, because there's always, and that's one last thing I want to leave us with, is Paul identified a connection point with him. Don't just come preaching, but find a spot. And he realized that these guys were philosophers, so hey, that was their door of entry to actually bring the gospel to them. And so with every person we meet, you know, just yesterday I was jogging on the beach and I felt the Holy Spirit said to me, hey, go and speak to this young guy. And I thought like, no, there's just no way, you know. But I just jogged, stopped, and I started to speak to him. I said, hey, guy, I don't know, but what are you doing? Where are you going? And there was one or two connection points. It turned out that he was on his way to commit suicide. And the Lord just intervened, turned his life around, and it just was just so amazing, you know, that God knew about that guy. And I took a very strange angle because I saw him listening to music, and he was throwing stones into the sea. And I said, hey, we're going to pray, you know. And so God turned his life around, and that's how the Holy Spirit works. And that's how we can also see here with Paul, how he approached, because, hey, we're working with God. We're not working for him and doing a lot of things for him. We are saying, Lord, we are co-laborers with you. And I want to pray that you'll have discernment, that you'll be open to the listening of the Holy Spirit in your life, and that we'll also find those ways in which God wants to use us. So, Lord, thank you for being partners with you in the Great Commission. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful, that you want to reach the world. And your gospel, Lord, we're not ashamed of your gospel. It is still the power of God unto salvation. And Lord, as we see the confidence of Paul and these guys, Lord, as they just spread the word with so much passion, we pray, Lord, that you will forgive us, Lord, for sometimes, Lord, just being in a comfort zone. But Lord, Holy Spirit, be the fire in our hearts, be the direction in our lives, so that we can see your kingdom come. That's what we live for, Lord, is for your glory and for your name to be spread in all the world. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.